hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and I hope that our listeners will consider contributing to the ongoing pledge drive. If you wish to make a pledge, just call 800-724-2719. That is also the number that you would call if you have a product or a service that you would like to have advertised on Republic Broadcasting, or just go to republicbroadcasting.org to make a pledge by clicking the pledge button. Our guest today is Pablo Rodriguez. He is with the Tax Response Team. Their website is taxresponseteam.org. And Pablo, you were talking about the things that we needed to do before we went to the top of the hour break. And so please pick that up.
Sure. So there's three kinds. Actually, there's a total of six or seven different kinds of reconsideration. So if you've received a substitute for return, a proposed substitute for return, a CP-15, which is a notice and demand for tax, as it's known in the law, you can challenge the commissioner on the information he used. And what you have to do is write him a letter demanding audit reconsideration or SFR, substitute for return, or automated substitute for return consideration, and provide him all the facts. And I mean all of them, because you get one shot at this. You have to write every single issue you have that you want him to reconsider why you don't owe what he claims you owe. And after that, if by letter writing they don't agree with you, you can take it to IRS appeals. And then out of IRS appeals, then basically you're going to go to court, because if they're still coming after you, you've made it abundantly clear. Like I said, a typical member of IRS normally has about 30 or 33 procedural violations of assessment. And every one of these are known in the Internal Revenue Manual as well as the law as due process violations. So it's very simple for a judge to go, well, did you follow your procedures when you arrived at these assessments? Your Honor, I have proof that they didn't do it 32 times. Well, that's a very simple decision for the judge. He's not ruling on taxation at all, is he?
No,
he's
right.
He's due process. It's a due process violation, and that's a winning issue. So the commissioner has to, in the IRM, every lawsuit, he has to evaluate what are called the hazards to litigation. And if we present the issues in a way that the commissioner had a duty to respond, because the Supreme Court, we found case law that says he does have an obligation to respond. He must provide the results and the methods of how he made his determinations. We found one that says every time the tax gatherer puts his finger on the taxpayer, he must also put his finger on the law permitting it. That was Justice Thomas, who about 8 years ago wrote that in a Supreme Court decision. I just love decisions like that.
Right. Okay. So basically the taxpayer needs to know the law so that they can use it against the IRS.
Well, it's the procedures, right, which support the law. The IRM says, hey, well, the procedures are the procedural implementation of the tax laws. So if he violates his procedures, he's automatically violating the law. Can I say one more thing? And then I know you wanted to go to questions.
Sure.
Okay, so I want to cover one last thing. It's just one of these things that's on my back burner, but it just burns in my butt every time I hear people say, oh, well, the government's in debt to the Social Security system to the tune of $60 billion unfunded obligations. But on my own website, I found a webpage from the Social Security Administration, and it's called Is Social Security a Ponzi Scheme? And if you go down about two-thirds of the way down the article, the Social Security Administration itself admits that it is not a system of collecting and withholding or holding onto the money. It's a pay-as-you-go system. So my money today and your tax money today pays for today's beneficiary. And even have a charter saying it. Today's workers pay today's beneficiary. There's also
right.
two very important Supreme Court cases that say that any money paid into the Treasury for any reason of employment taxes may be used by Congress for any
Pablo, hold that thought. We do have to take our 3-minute break. We'll pick it up on the other side.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
All right, welcome back. Okay, Pablo, you were talking about the Ponzi scheme and that the payers now, the people who pay into Social Security right now, are basically paying the benefactors, the people who are collecting.
Yeah, I mean, this idea that we're somehow going to run out of money in 2020, it's just garbage. The people who are paying for the workers in 2028 are going to pay for the workers' retirement funds in 2028, the Social Security funds in 2028, just like we do today. Any leftover money, by Supreme Court decision, in two different decisions, Congress can use for any purpose whatsoever. There is no such thing as a trust fund. The fund doesn't exist. It's an accounting illusion. There is no money. If Congress wants to pay it today, it comes from my pay and your pay and anybody else out there who's had Social Security taxes taken from their pay. It's that simple. So this idea that somehow the system's going to go bankrupt or worse, the government's $60 billion in debt is hogwash by Social Security's own website and by Supreme Court decisions in two different cases.
How interesting. All right. We will take calls if you have a question or a comment. We'll take calls at 800-313-9443. Let's see. What else do you have here on the website? Well, could we talk more about how we take back our power, how we take back our signature, the one that we put on our very, very first tax filing?
Well, okay. So we can't take that one back. But let's talk about it. So there's a letter you can write, and it happens to be true if you make mistakes on other kinds of returns. You know, people have filed these things called original OIDs, I forget what it is, some of the original issue documents, where they, you know, or they've done other silly things. They go, geez, I made a mistake. And so you realize the mistake you made. You go, listen, I need that return back. And, you know, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to do it and take back my signature. Now, why would we do that? Well, it's not important necessarily in the administrative arena. I mean, the commissioner's not going to go, oh, my gosh, he's not a taxpayer anymore. What we're doing is you have to look like in any kind of procedure, the IRS wants to take you to court. That's their new process today is they want everybody in court because they know the court's going to back them up 100%, and they're going to out-slick you and out-maneuver you and out-procedure you. But if you're standing before a jury of your peers and you present them all the case law in your letter that you gave to the commission why you believe you're not a taxpayer within the meaning of the code, it's pretty hard to overcome willfulness or criminal intent because you're basing everything you've said on Supreme Court decisions. And it's a logical presentation. So
you know,
revoking your... Go ahead.
So many of the people that sit on juries have the idea that somehow somebody who is fighting paying income tax is doing so because they don't want to pay their fair share. You know, we've all been indoctrinated in the government school that we have to pay our fair share, and anybody who isn't, well, they're just not being legit here. So what would you say about that?
Well, I would more than gladly pay any tax that Congress has imposed on an activity where there's a liability. So there's an imposition of a tax and a liability. What most people have never done is actually looked at the law themselves. And it's out of pure ignorance that they're saying something like this. Sure, I'll pay my fair share. Absolutely. Every time, no question. So I don't see myself as a protester. All I'm asking is that and I'm not protesting the taxes. My question is, what in the law says I have to pay this tax if there is actually an activity that's being taxed?
And what kinds of activities would those include?
Well, so that's a great question. So, like, for example, in the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms example I gave you at the very beginning of our talk, we can see that an activity very clearly is defined as importing into the United States, distilled spirits imported into or manufactured in the United States. Very clear what's being taxed here. In the case of people who are self-employed, the tax is imposed on self-employment income or net earnings from self-employment. That's actually a term, net earnings from self-employment. Put that in quotes. That's one definition. Or in the case of individual income tax, it's a tax on taxable income. But that's not what's being taxed. Congress clearly said this in 1943. They said the tax is not on the income. It's a tax on certain activities or privileges with the income received as the measure of the assessment. See, people don't understand. Because we have been taught to believe everything is taxable all the time. And
right.
When you realize it's activities that are being taxed, what kind of activities for an individual? Unfortunately, I can't tell you because when I look for taxes for individuals, I couldn't find any for me. So I'm going to, you know, I don't say nobody out there. Our group did research, about 30 of us, and none of us could identify an activity as clearly as 5001 that says there is a tax imposed on an activity.
Okay.
It's on tax imposed on income, right? So what do we say to these people? What activity have you engaged in that Congress has taxed?
Okay, got
that's
it.
That's a simple response.
All righty, we do have some callers, so let's take a call. Let's take Rodney in Illinois. Rodney, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Pablo. Have you read Dave Champion's book, Pablo?
No, I haven't.
Well,
it was a little on the expensive side, so I think I'd take a little cheaper.
Yeah, well, I got just about every book there was, and he come along and wanted $100 for it, so I had to make my library complete, so I bought it, and he does a good job of explaining exactly that about the Social Security being a pay-as-you-go. And that one point alone should be enough to cause the average person to realize that they are a socialist. whether they like Ron Paul or not. You know, if they're part of the system, then they are a socialist. Also, I was wondering if anybody that you ever have educated ended up being a juror on a willful failure to file case.
Okay, so let me just back up by saying we don't really get into politics, right? Because here's the thing. We got people in trouble. How they got into trouble, I don't really care. What we need to know is how can we help them get out of, how can we teach them to get out of trouble? So I don't disdain anybody's books, but we're very clear about what Congress and the Supreme Court have said are the basis for taxes. They're based on an activity. And, you know, we know that this, you know, people argue, well, 16th Amendment didn't grant Congress any new taxing authority. Now, that's a Supreme Court decision. So I don't care if the 16th Amendment is passed, and I don't care about most of these other arguments people are willing to make. The fact is we've got people in pain. Think of us as triage. What can we do to get you back on your feet to make an argument? So if, you know, I would agree with Mr. Dave Champion. Mr. Champion's book, absolutely, to the point that he would assert that taxes are based on an activity taxed by Congress. Because, again, the Supreme Court and Congress said it that clearly.
His major premise is the tax code is written for taxpayers, and most people are non-taxpayers and are by fraud and deceit convinced otherwise, which seems to be the real heart of the matter of the criminal activity going on from on high is the deception.
Yeah, what we find is most people are willfully ignorant. They're so scared to even say IRS that they're afraid to actually look behind the curtain, if you will, from, you know, an allusion to the Wizard of Oz. We do maintain fiercely our status as not taxpayers within the meaning of the code. And what every year we have to check, if those information returns are alleging that we received income, we have to challenge that. We have to challenge that. There was no underlying activity.
The reason for my question about somebody that you talked to ended up on a jury is because I did educate somebody on the IRS, and they did end up as a juror on a willful failure to file case. Unfortunately, the good news is this woman, middle-aged woman, homeschooled mother, wife of a doctor. I mean, mainstream middle America woman that you can find. She believed and understood what it was that I helped her to understand about the IRS, and she was fully prepared to vote not guilty and to stand her ground come deliberation. Unfortunately, the defendant in this case decided to plea bargain right in the middle of the trial, even though he knew. Although he had a hung jury, at least, and didn't know it, and this has always been my effort is to educate the potential jury pool, and it's happening, and cases like mine, you know, I've shared this story on RBN several times, but you know how often do we ever hear feedback like that someone who's been educated actually was willing to vote no, to vote not guilty, despite of the prosecution, and I think we're making headway. It's hard to say how much, but like you said, people are willfully ignorant and they live in fear, and the IRS as well as the government at large, they capitalize on that fear and ignorance, and that's what they have in their favor, and I'm afraid it's always going to be so.
All righty, we do have to go to a three-minute break. Rodney, if you have other comments, you can hold on over the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Do you- you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Inflammation can cause pain and makes getting around a lot harder. Through injuries or just old age, it's important to use anti-inflammatories, but the natural way. You need relief. You need GDU. Daniel Chapter 1's GDU is an all-natural anti-inflammatory, a proteolytic enzyme that has helped thousands of people stop taking COX-2 inhibitors. They're deadly, can cause liver failure and kidney failure, just to name a couple side effects. GDU has been for years one of Daniel Chapter 1's customers' star products. Try all-natural GDU and feel the difference. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Get GDU, the natural anti-inflammatory. Use promo code 300A for a discount. That's promo code 300A. Call 800-504-5511 and get your GDU today.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Pablo Rodriguez, and his website is taxresponseteam.org. And I believe we still have Rodney on the line from Illinois that had some other questions or comments.
Yeah, final question. Pablo, I'm sure you're familiar with the code. How many times do you see in the code C also, and it'll specify another chapter and section?
Well, quite a bit. Why? What's up?
Quite a bit. Well, you can, I don't have the case site, but there's a Supreme Court case that says a statute must be contained within itself. And just this one revelation in court will probably cause the prosecutor to ask for a dismissal. And I'm gonna ask you, Pablo, if you want to increase your knowledge, and like all of us, we've all got something else to learn, I want you to call Jerry Kirk. He's an RBN host on this network. You can find him on the RBN website. He's got his phone number posted. And ask him about that one specific thing that I just mentioned, about what is the significance of C also, and why the Supreme Court said you can't do that.
Okay. Well, listen, I do want to back up on one thing, though. So unlawful failure to file, what we've noted, and this is very, very interesting, if in the penalty statute of the Internal Revenue Code, what people are get charged with is willful failure to file. But see, this is a penalty statute, right? And notice it starts with any person. So first of all, you have to be an individual, for individuals, right? I'm not talking business or anybody else. You have to be an individual who had a duty to file a tax return on behalf of an organized enterprise, and you failed to do that. That's what the law says the definition of person means in 7434. That's one. Number two, you're going to get penalized for, according to this, for failure to file a tax. You said, well, that sounds normal. I said, yeah, but there's a whole bunch of other things that go underneath this. What was the activity? What was the statute in Subtitle A? What was the tax that was imposed on that activity? Did the amount that was received surpass the minimum filing requirement? Who was liable to file, or who has the tax liability required to pay? And then did that person, knowing they had that requirement to file, then fail to file a tax return on behalf of their organized enterprise for which they had a duty to do? And so what they're doing is, what the IRS always does in these court cases, they'll say, well, you robbed a bank. Or the penalty for they'll go like this, the penalty for robbing a bank is 5 years in prison. And you go like, and everybody says, oh yeah, he robbed a bank. No. The penalty for robbing a bank is doing this. You first have to have robbed a bank, but the IRS never alleges the robbing of the bank. Well, we're not going to go into the Federal Reserve here, but the penalty for robbing a bank, you have to rob a bank first on a specific date, time, and had a certain amount of money stolen from the bank before you can be charged with a penalty. So once they find you guilty of robbing a bank, here's the penalty. Right?
Pablo?
So here's what the IRS does. Here's the penalty, and they never establish any of the underlying facts.
Pablo, are you aware of any case that you're personally familiar with where in discovery you asked for the statute that made you liable and they provided it, or are they answered by it? Okay.
No, they don't provide it.
You would think a failure to comply with discovery would be grounds for dismissal, but apparently, they leave no dirty trick in their briefcase.
No, the courts fully back them up on this stuff. When you come up and show them the case law, I mean, I wrote a document under the criminal penalties about my research in person dealing with criminal penalties. And it's the same factual issues that you first have to be a person who had a duty connected with an organized enterprise to be charged with a criminal penalty. Now, that's only when the law says any person. Some of them actually say any individual. Well, that was easy. But if it's a person, Congress created a specific definition. So are you the person first and foremost? Then what are the underlying facts? And the courts are more than happy to let the IRS get away with not proving a single one of the underlying elements. And it's now your burden in a criminal trial to bring every one of those elements to the fore. And sadly, few, if any, know that. And we were just talking with a lady. She and her husband were charged with $198,000 in back taxes for willful failure to file and willful failure to pay, dating back to 2000. And I talked to their lawyer, and they said it was sufficient to argue the penalty without arguing any of the facts. Like, did they even have a requirement to file? That was frivolous, they said. It was frivolous to talk about what underlying activity they engage in, what statute was in stuff. These are her own lawyers telling us this. They didn't even want to read my document. They said if I couldn't give them proven case law on the person argument, they weren't even going to talk to us.
Well,
I said, dude, look at the facts.
They could charge you with impersonating the tooth fairy and charge you a penalty, but you cannot use as defense the tooth fairy does not exist.
That's correct.
Right, thanks, Deanna. Bye.
Thank you, Rodney. All right, let's take, we're going to break in just a couple of seconds. Our guest today is Pablo Rodriguez. His website is taxresponseteam.org. We will be back with Pablo in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. We do have another caller. Let's take the Greek in Tucson.
Good morning, Diana. Thanks for having me on again. And good morning to your guest. Boy, we'll try this again. The last time I called, the guest didn't like that I showed the heart doesn't pump the blood, and she was a doctor. So we'll try this with a different topic, obviously. Where do you start? It's a very broad topic, but this is the comment. Things have become too complicated because people are endorsing and are addicted to a private credit system. And as everybody knows, and the guest said, we don't want to get into the Federal Reserve, but it's still in existence today. It's not like prohibition that was repealed, right? So the federal government by proxy has given the responsibility of money supply production and control to the Federal Reserve. So what inspired me to call is the guest has got a particular attention to the IRS codes, and there is a way to bypass all of the codes and not look at them at all and maybe pay attention to a small thing in Title 12 of the United States Code, which would be more of the cause of the problem. The IRS codes are the dealing with the effect after the fact. Now, in the United States Code, Title 12 deals with banking. And if you go down to Title 12, United States Code, Section 411, it's a small paragraph, it's less than 50 words, and your remedy is right there. And it's been acknowledged to me personally by IRS agents. It's the only legal remedy. And what United States Code Title 12, Section 411 says, remember, this is not IRS code, this is United States code, it has to deal with banking. Section 411 says that Federal Reserve notes are only authorized to be used by Federal Reserve agents. And then it gives a few examples of what Federal Reserve notes are and the actual transactions. And then it says, unless demand for lawful money is made, and also the notes should be redeemable at a Federal Reserve Bank. And now we know that they're not redeemable at a Federal Reserve Bank. So my point here is this. Just like pharmaceutical companies tell you how dangerous their drugs are, you have millions of people taking them, because it's a lot easier to just pop a pill. So the problem here is you have millions of people, if not most of the people, endorsing a private credit system. What I mean by that is if you have a checking account or a credit card, you're endorsing that system. And, for example, if you go to any kind of a tax court case, what they use for discovery is the bank signature card, because you just signed the bank signature card endorsing private credit. So they don't need any IRS codes because you're endorsing a private credit system, and they are under the presumption that you are using a private credit and lending and borrowing. And basically, we have proof of even bank employees who have changed the signature card and stopped receiving direct deposit and demanded a check. Try to get that. It took about a month. And they endorsed each check, demand for lawful money, as per Title 12, Section 411. On the back of the check. And what happened, they started in August of 2010. And when they filed their return in January or February, they were taxed by the IRS with withholdings of everything up until that point. Everything, I believe, after August, the IRS returned full amount of the money back to them, or the credit, with interest. So, again, the problem is, you know, pharmaceuticals kill millions of people every year. But how many people are still using them? A lot of people. And do the pharmaceutical companies tell you they're dangerous? Yes. So it's the same thing with the credit system. So if you have an obligation that you usually use a checking account with, if you substitute that with money orders and no longer have a checking account or a credit card, you see. See, so people are not going to do it. And we have lots of proof. If any, I can even email you, Diane, and I could send you letters and documents and returns. But basically, I encourage anyone and everyone to please look at United States Code Title 12, Section 411, and just read it and make a demand for lawful money.
Your comments, Pablo.
Sure. So I'm reading it right now. It says, Federal Reserve note to be issued at the discretion of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System for the purpose of making advances to Federal Reserve banks. It's very clear who the notes are being issued to. Through the Federal Reserve agent. Well, I'm not a Federal Reserve agent.
Correct.
So this doesn't apply to me. That's the end of that.
Here's the point. I've read a lot of court cases where even the Supreme Court, the alleged Supreme Court, because there's two Supreme Courts. You have the United States Supreme Court and then the Supreme Court of the United States. But what they've basically skirted around a lot of issues and a lot of defendants have lost because they skirted around that Title 12. They said, well, has this person made any other demands? See, if you read the whole thing, I interrupted you there, but if you read the whole thing down, it says, unless a demand for lawful money is made, you're endorsing. What it is, it's very indirect. Remember, this is written by attorneys, and it's not in English. what it is basically telling you is unless you are making a demand for lawful money, you are endorsing a private credit system, which is under policy, so anything goes. That's why when you go to a court case, you know, one person gets a slap on the wrist, and then the next person who did the same thing gets 2 years in prison because it's whatever they feel like doing because you're endorsing their system. But read it very, very carefully, and you will see, and again, making a demand for lawful money. I'll give you another example. Federal Reserve notes, which people call cash or money, have serial numbers on them. I had gone personally down to an IRS office with someone who was going to pay an alleged debt. They gave the IRS agent behind the window 300, each note had 100 in the corner, 300. And the IRS agent said, well, don't you have any other form of payment? He said, no, we'll take this. Okay, so the IRS agent goes behind the counter and pulls out a piece of paper and writes down the serial number for each note, because if you don't write the serial number down, you're just creating a tax liability. Another
example. See, the problem, though, is that's not supported. Okay. So what we do is, I hear what you're saying about the banking. I'd love to see the docs you're using in the Supreme Court decision. So
yeah,
we're
not using anything. The only thing we're using is the demand for lawful money. And what I have the docs are the results of that, where everything is just backed off. Everyone is just backed off. There is no reason for addressing anything. See, that you have cause and effect. You're better off doing fire prevention than buying 15 fire extinguishers in case, you know, a fire happens, right? Fire prevention is much stronger. So it's just basically, if you're endorsing the action that you're being taxed on, which you mentioned procedurally is being violated or void in face, there's no prima facie evidence of any action they're showing you. The Title 12 actually discloses that Federal Reserve notes, which also are checks, and anytime you sign anything, is actually making you a de jure, de facto, actually, Federal Reserve agent.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't help people whose money is being taken on a weekly basis from their paycheck.
It does, actually.
I would love to see this. I mean, you're presenting something I've not seen before. I've only heard tangentially. It needs to be proven.
Yeah,
reasoned and supported, right? I hear what you're saying. I'm not denying that. It's just that if someone's having money taken out of their pay, remember the commissioner is restricted to Title 26, period, end of story.
Right,
people hit him with UCC stuff, and that stuff does not, he can't listen to that because Congress didn't give him authority to talk to those things.
UCC is not in effect because you're under state of emergency. So they go either way. State of emergency, 1933 banking holiday is still in effect. So you see, the prime law in this country, there's not law of equity, it's not commercial law, it's not common law, it's a law of presumption. So everyone is preserved to be endorsing private credit unless a contrary statement is made. Now, what I could show you, for example, is, by the way, when you have an employer that's doing withholding, don't deal with them. They just don't know. I mean, anyone that's gone past kindergarten has been indoctrinated. The IRS will acknowledge if you are making a demand for lawful money, it's called a non-endorsement, not in their code, but that's loosely what it's called. There's a fellow named David Merrill. I hate to plug his name in and put the onus on
him. Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, he's had a tremendous amount of success, but you can't get elaborate. You just have to keep it very simple. So if you know who David Merrill is, I can tell you his stuff works. Now, it works with the administrations. But it doesn't mean you're not going to have some local attorney who gets your name from a hot sheet based on zip codes to hassle you and harass you and tell you what you're saying is ridiculous. Because remember, they always work by presumption. But you just have to stick to what you know. I don't see many people grabbing onto this or even comprehending it. Just like I gave the metaphor of the pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals always tell you they're using their stuff is dangerous, yet a third of the population is using it. And it behooves me why they do that. It's kind of like sending your children to school. The most degrading thing you can do to a child is have them graded. So it's just this society right now just behooves me. But I wanted to call. I was inspired because you've done your homework. And again, if you look at the procedural violations, any lien has to be signed by the Secretary of Treasury and served to you by a federal marshal. And no, none of them are done that way. And also a proper tax court. There are only 19 circuit rider tax judges in the whole country. So those are your three or four major procedural violations. And my point here is if you...
Well, in order for it to be a procedural violation, remember, the commissioner is bound by Title 26, as are all his agents, as well as the regulations, the Internal Revenue Manual. If I bring up Title 12, he's deaf. Because you know what? He doesn't have any authority over Subtitle 12. Title 12. So he doesn't have to listen to an argument about Title 12 as much as I may want to make it, number one. Number two, we haven't researched this. So I hesitate to make any judgments on this. In fact, we're very slow. because it took us over 7 months of research. And we went through a couple thousand documents before we realized that the step for value and the straw man argument are just the fact the United States went bankrupt in 1934, which was reversed 6 months later. All these things are just hogwash. We don't see a support in the law or the regulations or case law that supports them. I'm not saying what you're saying is hogwash. I'm just saying we haven't had a chance to review this. You've got, you know, you can contact me at info@taxresponseteam.org. Send me what you got. I'd love to see it.
All right. That'd be great. And again, it is a private credit system, and it has been admitted over and over and over. So whenever you're dealing with an organization with the character and nature of the Fed, be warned. Well, anyway, thanks for the time, and thanks for letting me broadcast this information, Diana. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, and I would like you to email me also.
Okay, I'll find you on your website.
Okay, thank you very much. All righty, my email is Diana@spingola.com. Okay, Pablo, your comments.
Well, now, one of the things we're focusing on, you know, we got people whose money are being taken right now from a company. We found the law and the regulations that show, for example, levies, right? A lot of people are getting hit with levies. And we now know that for the majority of these people, the law says and the levy has to be sent to the employer of the person who is being levied. And you can levy their wages or accrued salaries and compensation. Yet when you read the regulation, the secretary states who the employer is, who can lawfully receive, and who he is authorized by his own reg to submit a notice of levy to, And he says the employer is an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of those who has control of the wages. So we know he's defined what he can levy, wages of certain compensation of federal employees, certain state and municipal employees, and seamen, of all things. And he's only authorized to serve, that's the law, says to serve a notice of levy on the employer of an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of those three things. So if your for-profit enterprise founded in Delaware, operating in California, is served a notice of levy, the secretary was not authorized by his own regulations to serve it, because that company is not the federal government. It's not the United States. It's not an agency. It's not instrumentality, and it's not the District of Columbia. It's not agency or instrumentality of any of those. And the second, the wages that he's allowed to go after are not the wages of this person he's going after from this company. So we know now, just through his own regs, he limited himself to who he can serve a notice to and what he can gather when he serves these levy notices.
Right.
And nobody ever argues that one, by the way.
Interesting. All righty, we do have another caller. Let's take George in Wisconsin. George, welcome to the program.
How you doing? Listen, I want to call on behalf of one of my neighbors. She owns a grocery store, and she's getting harassing letters about taxes that she already paid. But the problem was that the house had a problem with the roof. Water got in, and they discarded a lot of this stuff. I'm wondering if it's possible to get into that master file. Would there be some records on that? Or should I have her log on to your taxresponseteam.org thing? Could you help me out that I could tell her something, buddy?
Sure. Well, an email to info@taxresponseteam.org will leave you a phone number to contact us and talk about the situation. The individual master file is not going to have things like tax records. That's separate. Think of the individual master file as your checkbook register. Okay, it's just a listing of the actions and activities you've taken against your tax, if you will, account. Okay, so the other action activities documents that those are maintained by the IRS, they're scanned in and saved in a digital format, and then the originals are burned or thrown away or recycled or somehow destroyed. So the document that she submitted, you can request by Freedom of Information Act. The individual master file for her, see, if she's a business, it depends. Is she a sole proprietor or is she a pass-through LLC?
It's
in which case, the monies
well,
go to her directly. Okay, well, but they may still have established an LLC or a C-Corp or an S-Corp so that they separate their monies from the company's monies. Otherwise, the monies all go to them. And then the question is, if they are sole proprietors, where in Subtitle A does it say that selling groceries is an activity taxed by Congress? Where in Subtitle A does it say working to feed your family is an activity taxed by Congress?
All right, hold that thought. Would you have to take a three-minute break? George, you're welcome to stay over the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Our guest today has been Pablo Rodriguez. He is with the Tax Response Team. The website is taxresponseteam.org. If you have a question or a comment, you may email them at info@taxresponseteam.org. And if you want to talk to them personally, leave a phone number and they will contact you, correct?
Yes, there's actually a contact us at the very top, and then you can give us a brief overview of your situation, and we'll get back with you.
Okay, and It's really, you've given an awful lot of information today, and I think the biggest issue, of course, is that people do not understand that they're not liable to pay an income tax, and yet, because of the brainwashing, the indoctrination via the government schools, we all think that we have to.
Yep. Well, and you know, the bad part is you do it to yourself. Every one of us realized that those who file made themselves liable for the tax. And you know, and so there was that school of thought that comes up and says, well, if I never file, I'm not liable. But that's not quite the way it works. There is always the information that has to be continually challenged. And that's an ongoing effort.
And of course, your employer is always going to be filing information with the government showing that he paid you a particular,
you
wage.
Received income. Right.
Right.
You've received income, and the income is always taxable.
Right.
And it's a constant effort. So people say, well, can I do this once and for all? Can I just bow out for a year? No. You're either a taxpayer or you're not. It's just that simple. It's like jumping in the pool. You can't halfway come out and say, I don't want to get wet now. It doesn't work like that. And the bad news is once you start down the road of activities, if you're working with a company for 20 years, you can't all of a sudden say, well, I'm not an employee. And we know how to handle that, but it does present, you know, certain challenges. How do you say for 19 years that you were an employee, now you're not? Or that they were an employer, and now they're not.
Right. So it takes some effort and some work, and your 80 member team has done a lot of this research, and yet you said that you can't opt out once and for all, and yet I do know people who have opted out, and the government has never gone after them.
Well, correcting your individual master file is one sure way of, because once you have the tax status, they'll actually put codes into your individual master file showing that you're not required to file anymore. And
oh,
so what happens
okay.
is when individuals receive information returns, the IRS looks at their code and they go, oh, well, he's not required to file, and they just leave you alone.
Okay. Well, that's what all of us would like to have happen, is just have the government leave us alone and let us live our lives without their intrusion.
It would be nice, but the IRS is not cooperative at all. Do not expect that they're going to go away even by letter writing. They want you to take them to court. And that's a sad thing to say, that our own government refuses to listen to the very citizens who gave them this authority.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so very much for being on the program today, Pablo. I really appreciate the information, and I'm certain that our listeners also appreciated it. And I hope you will come back.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.